Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
If you would, go to the book of Psalm 43 and verse, or excuse me, Psalm 42 and verse 3. Let me get my numbers right. Psalm 42 and verse 3. I want us to look at a statement that David makes, or not David, but one of the chief musicians, one of the sons of Korah makes here. And it's very interesting in this prayer. Now, Psalm 42 and 1, as the hart or as the deer pants for the water. We've got that song in our songbook, and we sing that from time to time. Such a beautiful one. My soul thirsteth for God. That's verse 2, but I want you to key in verse 3. Notice, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Evidently, the author of this psalm had enemies that did not understand why he was worshiping a God that they couldn't see. You got to think about it. Most people in the world, they worship an idol. Biblically, in those times, people, they had a physical idol they'd bow down to. We know some of the other religions in the world, the Indians, for instance, they have Vishnu, have all these different actual statues, and they'll bow down, or people bow down to Buddha. Some people bow down to the Virgin Mary or even Saint Peter. But we serve God in heaven. But once you notice, day and night, been upset, been troubled with people asking the question, where is thy God? Maybe you've never been in that situation. If you have been, I take it you made it through there. I want to give you some quivers, if you will. I want to give you some arrows to use and fire back at somebody when they ask you, where is your God? You ready? Let's answer that question. Where is your God? Go to the book of Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 11. We're just going to kind of run through these and almost rapid fire, not quite. But they are arrows, so you need to be ready with them, right? Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 11. As we search for God, where is He? Number 1. As soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Number 1. Where is thy God? He is above us. And He is above us in heaven. Now these are the words of Rahab. And she, just everything left her because she knew about the God that Joshua and the Israelites served. Number one, because He was in the heavens above. Isn't that a true biblical teaching? That we don't necessarily just point up because it's not like heaven's up and hell's down. Not exactly what He means. But we think about the heavens are higher above than we are. God is up above, sitting on His throne, looking down below upon us, His children. Number one, He is above us. Number two, go back to the book of Psalms, 125th Psalm now. Psalm 125 and verse 2. Right past the middle, Psalms 118. 119 is that beautiful praise of God's Word. After you hit Psalm 119, you get Psalm 120. Through 134, those are 15 psalms. And if you'll notice, at least in my copy of Scripture and in most of them as well, under the word Psalm 125, it will say a song or a psalm of degrees. Or your copy may say ascent as well. It's thought that these 15 psalms were psalms or songs they would sing as they journeyed to Jerusalem to worship. There were 15 of them, and as you ascended up to Mount Jerusalem, you would sing these songs of degrees. Now notice here, Psalm 125 and verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, see, you use these with Jerusalem. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. Number 2, where is God? Well, He's around us. God is around us. God sees what we're doing. There is nothing that you and I might do on this earth that God doesn't see, either from above or the fact that He is here around us. Now, people will say, you know, Matthew 18, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He's not talking about worship. Now, God is with us as we worship, but that's not what that verse means. That talks about receiving a rebuke or an accusation. But we know that God is around us. Number two. Number three, go back to Exodus. The book of Exodus, the 13th chapter. He is above us. He is around us. But notice here, Exodus 13 and verse 21, He's going to be before us. You may remember this story. As they are trying to leave the city or leave Egypt, God says, I'm going to protect you. I am going to guide you. They're in the wilderness. And the Lord, verse 21, went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night it was a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. God led them out of Egypt. I've seen the picture, just like a big cloud almost. But it was a cloud that perpetually stayed in front of them so they knew where to go. And at night it was this big pillar of fire that moved in front of them. See, number three, God is before us. The Israelites were instructed to follow the cloud. They were instructed to follow the pillar of fire. Dear friends, we are instructed to follow God's commandments. He literally at night illuminated the path they were to follow. And through His Word, He has illuminated the path we are to follow in this life. That's number three. He is before us.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
So let's go to the book of Isaiah now. Isaiah chapter 30. And verse 21, not only is He before us, but He's also behind us. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. We're in a section of the book of Isaiah where all these chapters in this area all start out with the word woe, W-O-E. God through Isaiah is pronouncing woes upon all the people. Woe after woe after woe. Notice Isaiah 30. In verse 21, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when you turn to the right hand, and when you are to turn to the left. Now, I want you to think about this. We just looked in Exodus how God was before us, and so He would illuminate the path. But now think about God being behind us. He has shown us the way to go. And being behind us, He says, you go that way. And if you come to a fork in the road, since God's behind you, He said, go to the left. Or go to the right, whichever way the case may be. He is behind. He is guiding us. I think about maybe when you would take a school field trip, maybe to the zoo or to a museum or something, you'd have a chaperone up at the front of the group. And you'd have a chaperone at the end of the group to make sure that there are no stragglers. God is both before us and behind us. Let's look at number five. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy, and we're going to be in the 33rd chapter. So right there at the end of the book, right before Joshua. Deuteronomy 33. Duo means second. Duet. Onomy is a word for law. It's literally the second giving of God's law. Notice here in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Where is God? Number five, He is beneath us. It means He's protecting us from all angles, right? If He's above, He's behind, He's in front of, He's above and below. He's everywhere. But I also love that phrase, underneath are His everlasting arms. What a fellowship and what a joy divine leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Nothing. Why? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. God is beneath us. Two more and that will do it. Isaiah, go with me there if you will. Isaiah chapter 40. And this one's a couple of verses here. Chapter 40, beginning verse 10. Isaiah 40 and verse 10. We have gotten out of the woe section. Kind of interesting. Isaiah has 66 chapters. And it's often been called, Isaiah's often been called the miniature Bible. In fact, I believe it's Brother Tom Holland, his sermon outline book on Isaiah is called the miniature Bible or something along those lines. And just like in our Bible, the first 39 books all go together. We call that the Old Testament. The first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah all go together. And it's more instructions. And that's where you find your woes. And just like with us, the last 27 books of the Bible, that's the New Testament all go together. But really the last 27 chapters of Isaiah, it's a lot of comfort. Your first chapters are conduct and your latter chapters are comfort. Notice here what he says in chapter 40 beginning in verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, carry them in his bosom, shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? Number 6, where is your God? He's with us. How else could God be able to shepherd us? How else, and I love this imagery here in verse 11, not only is he the shepherd, but he's going to reach out and he's going to pick up those little lambs that have gotten out of the way and he's going to put them back where they go. Well, God couldn't do that unless he was with us. Not only is he among us, he truly is with us. But I got one more and it's in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Where is thy God? Colossians 1 and verse 27. Notice here what Paul writes to the church at Colossae. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's been setting up Jesus Christ pretty much this whole chapter. And now he's talked about now made manifest, end of verse 26, to the saints. Key in on that word saints. To whom? Who's the whom? The saints. God would do what? To whom would God make known? Okay, he's going to tell the saints something. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? It was a mystery. A mystery is something simply not known. We think a mystery is something you got to solve. Maybe the mystery machine, Mystery Incorporated, Scooby-Doo. It's not something like that. There's not going to be a man in the mask that was the gardener the whole time at the end. That's not how this works. Mystery is something that wasn't known that is now known. What's he talking about? Christ was a mystery for thousands of years. Now, they knew he was coming, but they didn't understand him all the way. Christ came, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, first few verses of Acts chapter 1. Then after that, Paul says, I'm now telling you this mystery. I'm explaining it to you. Where is your God? Number 7, he's in us. Notice here, which is Christ in you. And we know Christ is the Son of God. Christ is God. And he's in us. We bear the name of his Son when we put on Christ in baptism. You know what? I think it's kind of funny, those who scoff and mock at Christians and mock at the Bible, they stand back, they cross their arms and go, where's your God? I tell you where, he's above us. He's around us. He's before us. He's behind us. He's beneath us. He's with us and he's in us. Well, that tells me he loves me, doesn't it? That tells me he loves you if he's going to do all these things just for me. We can say we found him. Simply by opening God's Word. But think about him being before us one more time. He has left his, he sent his Son to leave us away to get to him. He has illuminated the path, but we must follow in it. And in doing so, we must become a Christian. We must hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. We must go down that watery grave. We must come back out. And when we do, our sins are washed away. We leave that old man there in the grave. and we don't keep living that old life of sin. We buried him. We put him to death. We live a new life. Arise to walk in a newness of life, Paul will say it in Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4. You put on Christ, Galatians 3, 27, and then you remain faithful. Matthew 10, 22, to the end, Revelation 2, verse 10, until death. And that's where we are. Once we become a Christian, you must remain faithful. If you're not a Christian, as we sing this invitation song, what will you do with Jesus? Will you obey him? There are only a couple of answers. He's either a liar, which means just what he said just wasn't true. He's either a lunatic, which meant he was just crazy in what he said, or he's the Lord, and if he's the Lord, you'll obey him. You'll make him the Lord of your life. What will you do with Jesus?
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.